Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
In this world, there's one man who refuses to follow the script.
We have rules here, you know that. And if you don't follow the rules, then what are we?
One man stands tall in the face of adversity.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
A man who rises above the ashes of hot takes.
What do you care what they say?
Easy for you to say they don't love you.
It's just noise, man. You're really good at it. You might be great.
That man is Nick Kostos. And this is You Better You Bet.
If loving sports is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Where narratives are challenged and the truth is spoken.
I told you what was going to happen last week. If you didn't listen, that's on you.
This isn't talk. It's perspective.
It's not what you look at that matters. It's what you see.
This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, wonderful Sports Wednesday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports, as we bring you the fastest show in all of sports. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. And on this Wednesday morning, the world of sports is alive. And we're going to get to all the big stories, including why this Masters tournament is the most wide open that we have seen in quite some time. I will tell all of you why the National Football League in 2026 will look more like it did in 2024 than in 2025. And the NBA team that is red hot right now, that I want absolutely nothing to do with come playoff time. Our Masters bets will close the show along with all our bets for tonight in the final hour and the power hour. I will attempt to do better than I did last night. 0-2 with the baseball bets yesterday following an undefeated Monday night. We'll see if we can get it rolling here on a Wednesday heading into the Masters at Augusta National. 310-840-4910 is the number. 310-840-4910. YouTube.com/@TheKostos. YouTube.com/@THEKOSTOS. But we officially begin the wonderful Sports Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet by turning the page. Great song, by the way. Bob Seger's version is excellent. You get the saxophone at the end. Really good stuff. Metallica, great cover. If the, there I go, turn the page. We, as sports fans, turning the page today. And I want to quote one of our guests from yesterday on You Better You Bet. Our friend John Martin, from ESPN Radio and Odyssey Station in Memphis and the Field of 68. And I asked him, because he is a college basketball absolute nut, an absolute diehard college basketball fan, analyst, etc. And the word he used yesterday morning, with the season ending on Monday night, to describe his mood was melancholy. And I certainly understand if sports fans possess that emotion today. And perhaps you are one of them. Perhaps today you are sad, you're upset, you're forlorn, you're melancholy. Because really, today marks the end of the college basketball season. Not even so much yesterday, and I know the season technically ended on Monday night, but yesterday we had all the reaction. You know, the vast majority of yesterday's You Better You Bet is about the national championship game and about college basketball moving forward and about the NCAA tournament. Today is the first day where it really feels like it's over. And that sucks because we and I love college basketball. And college basketball largely now, and obviously we'll talk about a lot of the great prospects when we talk about the NBA draft coming up in a little bit, but college basketball largely now fades into the rearview mirror until the fall. And I can certainly understand why big sports fans would be a little upset about that today. I'm upset about it. I love college basketball. But here is the beautiful thing about sports and about the sports calendar. When one thing ends, we've got like eight new things sprouting up. I mean, hell, tomorrow begins the Masters. We've got that. And I don't even know if people are fully aware of this, what I'm about to say. Did you know, this is going to get you excited if this hadn't hit you yet. Next Saturday, not this Saturday, Saturday the 11th, next Saturday the 18th, officially starts the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. How awesome is that? Like, we're a week and a half away from the NBA and the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Masters start tomorrow. Baseball's in full swing. And we got a benches clearing brawl last night with the Angels and the Braves. Like, baseball's been really fun. We had a big signing in Major League Baseball about an hour ago in real time that we'll talk about later in the show. So there's a lot going on in sports for us to get excited about. And how about this? 15 days from today, round one of the 2026 NFL draft. And everyone's caught up right thinking about Fernando Mendoza. And the report came out yesterday. Fernando Mendoza will not be attending the NFL draft. First quarterback or first number one overall pick since Trevor Lawrence, presumptive number one pick, to not attend the NFL draft. Because Fernando Mendoza wants to spend it in Miami with his family. Good for him. It's a little too on the nose for me. The AI quarterback who always says and does the right thing says, you know what? I don't need to go to the draft. I don't need all the praise. I don't need to be showered with applause. I don't need any of this. I'm going to hang out with my mom and my family. Way too on the nose for Fernando Mendoza. And you can compare, right? Fernando Mendoza and the way, you know, he has carried himself his college career to, I don't know, Caleb Williams, who shows up to the NFL draft to be the number one overall pick a couple of years ago in a custom Chrome Hearts suit. Of course, that's what Caleb Williams did. And of course, this is what Fernando Mendoza is going to do. And just to say this, if it were me, I would do what Caleb Williams did. I'd show up in a badass suit, and I would want everybody to tell me how great I am. I'm not criticizing Caleb Williams at all. In fact, I could even say slight character flaw for Fernando Mendoza, not wanting to go to the NFL draft where you're going to be the number one overall pick. So yeah, we're 15 days away, and it's the absolute best. And last night, I'm thinking about so much as it concerns the NFL draft. I'm starting to get really, really, really excited for the NFL draft. And I'm thinking about what the Jets are going to do with two. And then what does Arizona do at number three? I'm thinking about Ty Simpson, and I'm thinking about Garrett Nussmeier, and I'm thinking about Carson Beck, and I'm thinking about Arvell Reese versus David Bailey versus Reuben Bain. Who do we like as the best edge rusher? And the receivers, and Jadarian Price. You know, Jeremiah Love's running back battery mate at Notre Dame. When's he going to go? What about Kenyon Sadiq? What about all my dynasty fantasy football leagues I'm in? With the rookie draft coming up, maybe my favorite week of the entire year is fantasy football, dynasty, rookie draft week. And I spent so much time thinking about it that I'm raring to go at this moment right now and give all of you some really strong opinions on what should happen in round one of the NFL draft. And I have chosen four hot button teams. Four teams that I find fascinating entering the NFL draft, 15 days away in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and what I think these teams should do, and why, at least in one instance, If this team does what I think they're going to do, it will telegraph something else that will happen later in the offseason. So without further ado, Nick Kostos on the NFL draft. Let's start at number two overall with the New York Jets. Because, you know, like we use this expression every year, and sometimes it's second pick, sometimes it's the third, sometimes it's the fourth. The draft really starts at two with the Jets. We know Fernando Mendoza is going number one overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. So the New York Jets will hit the clock at second overall with no real quarterback prospect on the board worthy of selection. We thought it might be Dante Moore of Oregon. He decides to go back to college. So the Jets will have their pick of the best defensive player available. Their favorite defensive player at number two overall. And I've thought a lot about it. And I've read a lot of articles about this. I've listened to podcasts about it. I've watched film on YouTube, and I don't claim to be like an expert, but like I just like it. So I flip it on and I watch, you know, supercut packages of player highlights. The player that I think the Jets should draft at number two overall, Ohio State edge rusher, off-ball linebacker hybrid, Arvell Reese. Arvell Reese should be the second overall pick in the NFL draft to the New York Jets. Not Texas Tech edge rusher David Bailey, not Miami edge rusher Reuben Bain, not Ohio State off-ball linebacker Sonny Styles. Arvell Reese. And the reason why I feel so strongly about this, and this is not to say that Bailey can't be awesome or Bain can't be awesome. I think all of them have a chance to be really good. All of them. The reason why I think the pick should be Arvell Reese is twofold. Reason number one, Aaron Glenn. Feel like we need a laugh track here. The fact that Aaron Glenn's still the coach of the Jets is a little funny. But he is still the coach of the Jets. Aaron Glenn has said over the course of the last few weeks, that Geno Smith will lead the Jets to the promised land. I just wanted to say that. He has also said that the Jets defense will be more multiple this season. So we'll get some looks with the Jets in a 4-3 look, some looks with the Jets in a 3-4 look. And if that's what you're going to do, Arvell Reese should be the pick. Because he is somebody. Now, maybe he doesn't reach the potential, and maybe he's souped up Isaiah Simmons, and maybe he turns out to be a gigantic bust. I don't think it's going to happen, but you know, the risk does present itself when you have someone who's very good at one thing and very good at another who could be great at both. Can you coax it out of him? But if this is your goal, and this is where NFL defenses are moving right now in this sort of mold, Arvell Reese is the prototype. Arvell Reese should be the pick if this is what the Jets are planning on doing on defense. And the second reason why I think Arvell Reese should be the second overall pick for the New York Jets is because the Jets are clearly playing for 2027. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, a bunch of teams are playing for 2027, given the fact that there's one can't-miss quarterback in this draft class, and it's Mendoza, and he's going first overall. Next year, Arch Manning will presumably front the list. Dante Moore will be on the list, who probably would have gone second this year. Ohio State's Julian Sain. We'll see if, you know, South Carolina's Lenora Sellers. We'll see other quarterback prospects that elevate over the course of this college football season. But the Jets, they'll be playing for next year. So if Arvell Reese takes a year of seasoning to really get great off the edge, I think he's going to be a badass linebacker, off-ball linebacker in pursuit right off the bat. I think this is something that makes way too much sense because the Jets can afford to give him some time to learn on the job. Arvell Reese has the highest ceiling. Arvell Reese should be the pick at number two for the New York Jets. And just to say this on the Jets, and then we'll get to a couple other teams. The Jets have four picks in the top 44, and we'll leave picks 33 and 44 alone for right now. And let's go to pick number 16. They're second of two first-round picks. By all accounts, including Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Media, who came on this show a few weeks ago, the Jets are almost certainly going to take a receiver at some point early in this draft. And you think about their pass catching core. It's Garrett Wilson, who's outstanding, obviously. And then I love A.D. Mitchell, who they got in the Sauce Gardner trade from the Colts. I think A.D. Mitchell could be really good. Operative word in that sentence is could. You got to get another receiver. Absolutely have to. If Arizona State's Jordan Tyson is on the board, that's my pick for the Jets at 16. Now, Tyson has big-time injury concerns. He has a hamstring injury, like literally right now. He's dealing with a hamstring. And has never finished a college season healthy. So there are some issues there with Jordan Tyson. But we'll ask Pete Prisco when he joins us later in the show, CBS Sports NFL analyst, who does great work covering the draft. You know, you read basically any great NFL, you know, draft analyst, listen to any of them. They all think that Jordan Tyson, his ceiling is to be the best receiver in the draft. He won't be likely the first receiver taken because of the injury concerns. But again, if you're the Jets and you're playing for 27, you can afford to take the risk and roll the dice on high ceiling with Jordan Tyson. So if it's Reese at 2, Tyson at 16, this is a grand slam homer for the New York Jets. Let's go to the Kansas City Chiefs, who find themselves picking this early in the draft for the first time in a long-ass time, since they traded up, obviously, to take Patrick Mahomes. That turned out to be a pretty good decision. The Chiefs will pick 9 and 29, the ninth pick they earned by being terrible this past season, finishing 6 and 11, and the 29th pick coming courtesy of the L.A. Rams in the Trent McDuffie trade. And we'll get to the Rams in a moment. So Kansas City got a nice piece of news a couple days ago when the NFL dropped its investigation into wide receiver Rashee Rice for domestic abuse. Now, I don't know the details of this. I know Rashee Rice probably needs to keep his nose clean and stay on the straight and narrow. But this is good news, obviously, for Rice and good news for the Chiefs, because it seems like Rashee Rice, who was suspended to start last year, is not going to face suspension, and if he's healthy, then he'll be on the field to start this year. Okay, so they have Rashee Rice. Travis Kelce is going to be back. If you take a look at the other receivers that the Chiefs have on the roster right now, I don't know how much confidence it fills you with. There's Xavier Worthy, who really hasn't shown us much since like garbage time in the Super Bowl a couple years ago against the Eagles. There's Tyquan Thornton, who's a nice player and like deserves to be on an NFL roster. He's not striking fear into the hearts of NFL defensive coordinators. The Chiefs, I thought brilliantly, signed Kenneth Walker away from the Seattle Seahawks. Super Bowl MVP Kenneth Walker to juice up that run game. Kansas City has some holes to fill. You can argue that they should take an edge rusher at 9 overall. And maybe they will if Reuben Bain's there. Bain seems to be the most likely edge rusher to potentially slip. You can argue that they should take a corner after trading Trent McDuffie and losing Jalen Watson. Both are now members of the LA Rams. Perhaps LSU's Mansoor Delane will be there at 9 overall. My strong opinion, though, on the Chiefs is that with one of those two first-round picks, they have to take a wide receiver. If you really want to give Patrick Mahomes the best chance for success this season, you got to jazz up this receiving core. You can't go into the year counting on Xavier Worthy and counting on Tyquan Thornton and honestly counting on aging Travis Kelce. I'm not saying it should be at 9. Like 9 could be your spot to grab Delane, could be your spot to grab Reuben Bain, premium player that you may not get because you never draft that high. The good thing, though, for the Chiefs is that it's a deep receiver class. So later in the first round, will Omar Cooper from Indiana be there? Probably not, but I wanted to say his name. Denzel Boston, KC Concepcion. The Chiefs need to exit the first round with a receiver, one of their first two picks. Two more teams to hit. Number one, the Los Angeles Rams at number 13. We talked about this last week when the news broke that Puka Nacua had entered rehab for Los Angeles. and Sean McVay at the league meetings, saying that Davante Adams had been dangled in trade talks, presumably for Eagles receiver A.J. Brown. The Rams are all in on this season. They're all in. Could be the final year for Matthew Stafford. They have the 13th pick, courtesy of that brain-dead trade with the Atlanta Falcons, who James Pierce, who may not play in the NFL again. Davante Adams is going to be 34. Tail end of his career. Can they count on Puka Nacua? Maybe. Maybe not. When the Rams get on the clock at 13, if USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon is available, the Rams shouldn't even hesitate. There should be no time off that clock. Turn in the pick. Here's Mekhi Lemon. And best case scenario, you've got Lemon, Davante, and Puka all catching passes for Matthew Stafford. And then when Devontae's eventually done, here's Mekhi Lemon as your wide receiver too, along with Puka Nacua. I think that makes all the sense in the world. And last note on the NFL draft for today, from me, 15 days out. I keep saying, and I think I'm going to be right, and a lot of people think I'm going to be right, that the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason will trade star receiver A.J. Brown. Now, it may not happen until after June 1st because of financial difficulties, you know, money that the Eagles would have to eat if they traded A.J. Brown prior to June 1st. So what does that mean? It means that the Eagles aren't going to get assets to use in this NFL draft to replenish the roster if and when they trade A.J. Brown. So when the Eagles hit the clock at 23rd overall in the first round this year, I think they need to take a receiver. The other receivers on the roster, Devontae Smith and Hollywood Brown. And remember, heading into free agency, it seemed like a fait accompli, a certainty, a lock that Dallas Goedert would sign elsewhere. And they worked it out to bring him back. I wonder why. Probably because they know that A.J. Brown going to be gone, and they need to make sure that Jalen Hurts has some weapons in the passing game. So if it's true, and if I'm right, that the Eagles are going to trade A.J. Brown, they're going to take a receiver early in the draft. And that will just telegraph what all of us probably already know, that A.J. Brown's on his way out in Philadelphia. 15 days away from the 2026 NFL draft. Do you agree with my opinions on those four teams? Do you think I'm nuts? 310-840-4910. Let us know on YouTube. YouTube.com/@thecostos. THEKOSTOS. Coming up next, why I am more excited for this Masters tournament than I've been for one in quite some time. We are rolling on a Wednesday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports.
North Carolina has hired former Nuggets coach Michael Malone. For the first time in 70 years, the Tar Heels go outside the Carolina family to reset one of college basketball's most powerful brands. Will it prove to be the right move? Westwood One Sports.
The world is huge, like 197 million square miles huge, but it's also smaller than you think. With unlimited 2% cash back, the Cash Rewards Plus Visa card from Navy Federal brings our members closer to the game they love, rewarding fans of FIFA World Cup 26 every step of the way, thanks to Visa. From new jerseys and gear to game day tickets and nonstop cheer, with Visa and Navy Federal by your side, the world is at your fingertips. Terms apply for credit card rewards. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash for more information. Visa, worldwide partner of FIFA World Cup 26.
Empower. Pete's back on the links with all new golf clubs and hopefully less swearing.
Dang! Sliced it.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money so he can be a little bad.
Heads up!
Oof. Talent sold separately.
Guy said these were slice proof.
At least he has money for lessons. Invest well, live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.